Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, October 23rd, 2012, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host for the evening, Anastasia. Lavendar's still on her way back from Hot Springs, but we have a pre-recorded segment that she and I did on natural state and rites of passage. We'll also be revisiting her chapters from the vault concerning Trickster, and like so much of her material, even if you've heard it once, you'll get more from the second round. Lavendar will be back on the air next week, and we have some great stories, including some high strangeness, to tell you about our Starseed Crystal Quest to Hot Springs last week. We'll also have some firsthand accounts from the people who gathered there. At the top of the show, we'll have our Starseed News segment with Anastasia, bringing current events of interest to Starseed and sharing some emails sent to us from around the globe. We want to thank Chris for hosting the switchboard this evening, and we invite you to call in with questions or comments tonight. And the number is 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 on your keypad so we know you want to come on the air. If you like our show, please click follow on our show page. You'll get our show notices, and it'll help promote our show as well as our guests. Then remember to tell a few friends about us. For our new listeners, our main site is starseedhotline.com, where we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. And we'd like to thank Rose, Anastasia, and Sahar for their continuing great work and dedication on behalf of our Starseed forum. You can also find us on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started in just a moment, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. If you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by getting your solar return timing. And please allow at least 2 weeks ahead of time to make sure that you do get it in time. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for the evening, Anastasia. Hello, Anastasia.
Hi there, everybody.
There you go.
Had a little technical delay there. Sorry about that. Well, it's so good to have you back. I feel normalized.
Normalized.
Yes, I missed your voice last week, and we missed you on the show, so it's great to have you back. We'll be glad, of course, when Lavendar gets back. I'll be glad when she gets back on, and so I'm glad to hear you, too. It was great to do the show with our guests last week, and I want to thank all the listeners that wrote to me and a shared appreciation for the program, Bless Your Hearts. I want to say a special thank you to Linda and just share with you what she wrote. It's typical of the emails that I received this last week. She said, what a fabulous lineup for this evening's show. Both of the guys presented such insightful information. Thank you for pulling it all together and for asking just the right probing questions. Sending love and light, Linda, in Georgia. So thank you, Linda. That meant a lot to me and to all the rest of you that sent your letters of support. I just really appreciate that. It was a lot of fun to do it, and it's just great to be with you as it is every week, even when we do the news. So we'll move into the news segment like we usually do, talking about the sun. There was an X-flare that occurred today. From the new sunspot AR-1598, it erupted today. In fact, it has been erupting. And Earth-orbiting satellites detected its strong X1-class solar flare. And they also recorded an extreme ultraviolet flash. Now, radiation from the flare created waves of ionization in the upper atmosphere over Asia and Australia, which was the daylight side of the Earth, and possibly high-frequency radio blackouts at high latitudes. The blast didn't, however, produce a significant coronal mass ejection, and no auroras are expected to result from that event. Now, this is the fourth significant flare from AR-1598 since it emerged over the southeastern limb only 3 days ago. This means more flares are probably in the offing, and they will become increasingly Earth-directed as the sunspot turns toward our planet in the days ahead. Now, the Orionid meteor shower, I want to give you a little update about that tonight. You know, a lot of people are claiming that it was kind of a ho-hum. They said it was underwhelming. I don't know if any of our listeners have managed to see any meteors from that. I haven't heard from any of you about it. But by and large, observers said it wasn't that spectacular. The peak was on October 21st, and the meteor rates, they say, never climbed much above 20 per hour. But as most of you know, Orionid's meteors are pieces of Halley's Comet that left behind the dusty debris in the solar system, and Earth hits this stream twice a year that produces these showers. So anyway, and I think that it's going to continue for a little while. As far as I know, it may be winding down. They say to still be alert for a few remnants, a few pieces, until they let us know that it's over. Okay, well now, I want to thank Ted, one of our regular listeners, and really thank him because Ted sent me the most wonderful news article to share with all of you. And this came from a website called France24.com, and from Ted, of course, who sent me the entirety of the article. And this is about a whale. And U.S. scientists have found a whale, or report a whale, that makes human voice sounds, or that did. The whale is no longer with us, but the article is just now surfacing. And I'm going to read this to you directly. It says that U.S. marine biologists, puzzled by human-like sounds coming from the whale and dolphin tank of an aquarium, concluded that it was actually the whale making the sounds. Anecdotal reports of whales sounding like people are not new, but in this case in San Diego, California, scientists for the first time recorded the utterances, and they did an acoustic analysis. And in so doing, they were shocked to find a rhythm similar to that of human speech. Isn't that cool? They say that this is quite a feat because whales make sounds via their nasal tract, unlike people. We use our larynx, of course. So this particular white whale had to make some tricky muscular and blowhole adjustments to sound like a person. A scientist said, such obvious effort suggests motivation for contact. The sounds we heard were clearly an example of vocal learning by the white whale. Now the whale, named Nock, N-O-C, he died 5 years ago. But he had lived among dolphins and other white whales and had often been in the presence of human beings. The whale made human-like sounds for around 4 years until it reached the age of maturity, and then it stopped. But what's an interesting sideline to this story is that a diver had actually jumped into the tank to be with the whale, assuming that he was called into the tank by people standing around him, when in fact it wasn't the people that told him to jump into the tank. They're attributing that message or that invitation to the whale sounds, that the whale actually told him to get in the tank. And this is no joke.
Wow.
Isn't that wonderful? That's just a wonderful, that just really is a beautiful thing to contemplate. That's just delicious. All right, well, I got a wonderful, interesting thing from Jessica. This is sort of on a political note, which I don't usually cover. But because it's very interesting, I want to share it. And she headed her email in the subject line, you know, like, what's up with this? And I agree. So this is one of those stories. The headline is that CBS News affiliate calls the 2012 presidential race for Barack Obama weeks ahead of the election. Now, here's the details on that. Now, even though the election is more than 2 weeks away, Friday, a CBS News affiliate in Arizona called the race for President Obama. How did they do that? Well, for 17 seconds, this Arizona CBS News affiliate, KPHO, ran a lower graphic that showed that Obama had won the November 6th election over Mitt Romney with 99% of the precincts reporting. The lower third graphic appeared around 3:30 p.m. on the 19th of October during an episode of The People's Court. The graphic, you know how they run those tickers at the bottom that move?
Mm-hmm.
This is what that graphic was. There was a picture on the Internet. Somebody took a screenshot of it. Anyway, the graphic showed that Obama won the election with 43% of the vote nationwide to Romney's 40%. And the general manager at the time of the station didn't return the calls for comment. But then there was an update later that day with the radio, with the station saying that it was the result of a mistake made with a test graphic. This is what they said. The mistake was caught quickly and taken off the screen. With the election about 2 weeks away, the TV station routinely tests its equipment to ensure our viewers have the very latest results on election night. We regret the error and apologize to any viewer who was confused by the mistake. Well, that's just a very interesting thing. So I'm just passing that along for what it is. They called the election ahead of time. They can say they were running a test. We can say, well, a test of what? So having said that, we'll see who wins the election and by what percentage. We don't know. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the Earth right now. The San Andreas Fault produced a 5.3 magnitude earthquake in Central California. So for our Starseed listeners out there, maybe you felt this. The Central Valley of California was jiggled by a magnitude 5.3 on Sunday. It was just days after the anniversary of that Big Bay quake of 1987. Now, Sunday's shaker occurred shortly before midnight Pacific time and was centered outside of King City, about 160 miles or so south-southeast of Sacramento, and there were no reports of damage or injury. Now, there is something big that's been going on in the sky. I talked about it last week, but it's still coming in, and I had to share this with you today because there's just too much going on not to report it. This comes from lunarmeteoritehunters.blogspot.com, and also I have some articles from the Sacramento Bee, the Plymouth, and from the UK. We're going to start by talking about that big fireball that was seen in Northern California. And scientific data picked it up. It happened at October 17th on 2012 at 7:42 p.m. Now, this was all over the Internet. It was seen across multiple states. And the official word was that it was a slow-moving, sporadic fireball meteor that was not, I repeat, was not connected to the Orion meteor shower. So this was a separate incident. And according to the Sacramento Bee, the fireball streaked through the sky were reported up and down the Central Valley and in the Bay Area. A lot of people saw this fireball. And that just made big, big news. So I'm sure there are Starseed listeners in California and in the West that have heard about that. And then in England, we have an article about a meteor that exploded, blasting open windows and doors and creating tremors. And this was in the Devon in the UK. And they say that the police were inundated with calls after a loud bang shook the earth and left people scared to death just after 4 p.m. on Thursday. Now, they initially thought that it was a mini earthquake, but calls to the British Geological Survey proved that that was not so. The British Geological Survey suggested it was more likely to have been the sonic boom caused by a meteor passing through the Earth's atmosphere. And it actually blew open the doors at a police station in South Devon. That's how bad the shaking was. And also, there's been some interesting sky sightings in the northeastern U.S., and some people heard a loud bang, and others felt rolling vibrations, and still others thought it was just a huge airplane or maybe a low-flying helicopter. But it actually was a 4.0 magnitude earthquake that was west of Hollis Center, Maine. Now, that's unusual in New England to have an earthquake in Maine. People said, "We heard it coming. It sounded like an airplane at treetop level. The quake only lasted a few seconds, but it went up under my driveway, under the kitchen, and in the backyard, a rolling motion." And so it's very rare in Maine. And they say about 7,000 to 10,000 people reported feeling this quake, even as small as it was. And our second to last article for tonight, there was a huge fireball, again, that was spotted over Washington, Maryland, and Virginia last week. And it also occurred around 7 p.m. It covered the whole of the D.C. region. People say that they saw a white light in the sky zip past overhead and then go out with a small boom while still crossing the sky. So that's still more fireball sightings, and they're happening all over the world. Now, our last article for tonight is about Scotland. And this is a family in Scotland were very surprised to find that they had a UFO hovering over their house in the sky in the middle of the night, and it stayed there for hours. And there's a video of that on YouTube. If you just Google Scottish UFO sighting, it occurred on the 22nd of October. It looks very much like one of those craft that we see in Close Encounters. The lights sort of follow maybe a half circle, three lights, red and assorted colors. Very interesting. So that's a major sighting in Scotland going on. Just a lot happening all across the planet. But that's it for tonight, and I appreciate the chance to bring you the news. And I want to say, all you starseeds, just keep those emails coming. I really appreciate hearing from you. I appreciate being of service to you, giving you consultations when you need it. And I just thank you for being a part of my life. So that's it for tonight, Ariel. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure, and thank you for keeping us up to date on what's happening around the world in the sky. And there's so much that I want to add to that that we witnessed in Arkansas, but I'm going to save it for next week. It's really hard because it's pretty exciting, but I'm going to wait until Lavendar is back, and we'll all share some of those things at the same time. So I guess about a year and a half ago, Lavendar and I had a conversation about natural state and rites of passage. So that was recorded, so I'm going to play that for you, and then after that I'll be back on, and then we'll hear about Trickster. So this is, if you've never heard it, you need to hear it, and if you've heard it before, listen again, because you always get more the second time around, and this is stuff you need to know. So here we are with Natural State and Rites of Passage.
The subject is rites of passage. When I look at a chart, I look to see where a person's, what they're born with their natural state. And then immediately after that, I look for rites of passage. So when a person knows what their natural inclination is, then they know that they have rites of passage to go forward with that energy. In other words, like a Scorpio, the downside of a Scorpio is a scorpion. And so they have rites of passage to sting people. All right? They really do. And it's a hard thing sometimes for us to swallow thinking about it this way. But they do have rites of passage to play either side. They can go eagle or they can go scorpion. It is their rites of passage. Same thing with a Pisces. A Pisces or a Virgo, they're born with a natural state of serving or suffering. Their rites of passage is, if I'm not serving, I'm suffering. So I want to be at the almost mercy of other people so that I can either be a doormat for them, or I can heal them, or I'm thrown into situations where everybody's suffering. It's a pattern of energetic. So what I'm getting to is this. When a person evolves out of their chart, when they evolve, when they get to the place where they go, you know what, I'm just not playing here anymore. I'm not a Pisces anymore. And when you do a progress chart, usually you find that that person has progressed out of that sign. But the body still remembers. And the astrology timing is still going on. So you have the soul who's in conflict with the body, and so kind of a war starts happening. So what I'm seeing here is, you know, I've been looking at this up spiral and down spiral and choices that we make and the navigation of just those two energies, up spiral and down spiral. So when you have a real evolved being who's outgrown their chart, and now possibly they even have a walk-in, which the walk-in comes and forget about astrological timing with some walk-ins on this planet, they've got their own time clock. So it's like, okay, how are you gonna navigate this? Well, it's really, really simple when it comes to serving and suffering, and that's what we're seeing on the planet now is a lot of healing and down spiral, up spiral, and how do you get to the place where you're healed and can go on. Well, there are people on the planet now, a lot of Pleiadians, a lot of walk-ins, and it is their job, totally their job, to work with the death and dying, because working with the death and dying is their assignment. It's their natural state, it's their rites of passage, it's their mission, it's what they do. And it doesn't stick to them. In other words, there's an energetic, if you keep playing with something long enough, then you become it. They're exempt from that. There's a group of people on the planet that are literally exempt from that. A lot of doctors, a lot of nurses, a lot of people in the medical profession have this by natural state. And although they're not starseed or they're not acclimated to this information, it's happening for them anyway. But then there's others that they're programmed for up spiral, alive and living. But they'll drop back long enough to do death and dying. They'll get caught there, and then they forget about where they were supposed to be playing to begin with, which was alive and living. So I just needed to call you and download this today because it's just kind of been sitting on my shoulder to say. So if you have anything you want to ask me about it.
Yeah, I do. When you look at someone's chart, are you then having to reconcile the natural state of the body and the natural state of the soul?
Yes.
If they could be in conflict.
That's right.
So when you look and you see certain markings in the chart and their natural state astrologically is possibly to write or some kind of communication, let's say.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're a scientist from Atlantis and they're about the technology. And you see these things in the natal chart.
Right.
But the person said, I have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
So then you have to go somewhere else to determine, are they living out of their natural state according to their chart or in their natural state according to their soul? That's a balance there that you have to find.
That's right.
Because looking at someone who's astrologically put together for science and technology and they have no inclination whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then are they living from their natural state or not?
Are they programmed through their family and through their bloodline instead? Or do they just simply are depressed and sitting in vegetated state because they can't access the information? You know, maybe their mother gave them too much MSG accent growing up, or maybe they're addicted to drugs and alcohol and just totally just can't find their way out. They're about to drown, but their head's just above water and they stay that way for years. So I know there is a doubt, but rites of passage, see, that's the place where I can really track it. The rites of passage, and if it hooks up with natural, and if I ask the right questions, then that unlocks for me somehow.
So you can unlock your rites of passage if you are not in your natural state astrologically, but spiritually.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, yeah, like I'll find out things that are really easy for them to do, and I don't know, the rites of, when you have rites of passage, you get to go there whether you're aware of it or not. They go, oh, how did that get here? I didn't know I could do that. It's like, ooh, how'd this happen? Well, if you have rites of passage, it's like a lock on a dam. It just unlocks and you just go through it and you go, I don't know how I got here. I wasn't thinking about it. I didn't know anything about it. Oh my goodness, I had this experience and I have not a clue how I got here. That's rites of passage.
What if a person is aligned with their astrological natural state and they're still having trouble accessing their rites of passage? Can that happen?
Yes. And well, they're aware of it. I mean, the rites of passage are going to happen whether they're aware of it or not.
Is it going to happen whether they're in their natural state or not?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. A person's rites of passage will activate, and it comes from their natural state, but the person doesn't even know it's their natural state. That's what I'm saying. This is one of the big mysteries of timing. It'll just happen, and people go, I don't know how that happened. I can't explain this experience because this is nothing that I'm connected to in my conscious mind or where I'm living or what I'm doing. Why did this, you know, it's like I don't know. I get a lot of questions about things like that. They'll go, I have no experience with this. I don't know why it happened. That's what I'm saying. Rites of passage will unlock, and the person doesn't even have to be aware of their natural state or anything.
But they do have to be out of violation.
Well, no, not necessarily. Rites of
no?
passage, listen, if you're a thief and you have a passage to be a thief, okay, and you just keep stealing and it's your rites of passage to steal, all right, and that's a violation, but it just keeps happening. See, this isn't about right or wrong. Don't get that confused. Tricksters, same way. There are people placed on the planet. That's their only job. They come here, it's their natural state, it's their rites of passage. That's all they get to do, is run around tricking people.
Because there's a bigger purpose
it's
to their
about,
existence.
Well,
if you have the tricksters out there, they're really showing you something that you need to know.
Well, they're manifesting Gemini big time. There are people on the planet just to manifest and to be examples and to have experiences, and because they're so masterful. Remember the mastership degree. Once you've mastered it, you can drop down and play it all day long. And there's no repercussions. I know. It doesn't sound fair, but it's true.
Yeah, this is a tough nut to hang on to. I mean, because there are people playing that role that don't have the rites of passage to do it.
I guess
that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah.
Give us something, a person from history that you would think of who had the rites of passage to be the master trickster.
Oh, dear. Someone from history. I can't think of anybody right off.
How about J.P. Morgan? Now, was he a master trickster within his rites of passage, or was he just a dark lord?
He was a dark lord.
Okay. See what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah.
To get an example of a trickster who is not just a dark lord, but actually was his mission and his mastership to come in and be trickster.
Yeah. Now, Robin Williams is a master trickster in comedy, and so is Jonathan Winters. Okay? They're master tricksters.
And I happen to know that Robin Williams was a huge Jonathan Winters fan.
Yeah, right. But I'm just saying that their mastership of language, trickster, it's the whole package. And they're able to put it on film and get people laugh at it. That's really masterful when you can have a trick played on you and you're laughing at the same time.
Okay. So the word trickster, although it carries negative, you know, tricksters can also be jesters.
Yes, they are. Tricksters are jesters.
Okay.
And you know, I remember how long I wrote that trickster document, went through, what, 8 different drafts, and I'll probably release it someday. I kind of did a thesis on trickster, if you remember, when we were down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I was really working on it, and And I will release it at some point. I'll probably write it again and then put it up on the website, because I think really people really need to know that trickster is allowed on the planet. It is a form of a Gemini, Sagittarius spin. It shows the duality of black and white, of how things are played here. How the energies are transmuted sometimes through trickster. You know, the Native American Indians, they think trickster's very, very big holy medicine. And even the technology we have today, you know, the cell phone towers and HAARP and all that you've heard me talk about, that's trickster. That's technology trickster. It's like, mind control, that's a trickster.
But that, does that come from mastership or does that come from dark?
Well, that's a combination of technology, dark lordship, and heavy records from millions of souls hanging in the balance of Atlantis, for instance, or Lemuria, or maybe their entire home planet that was blown up because of the misuse of power of crystal, or misuse of power of period. you know, it goes to another level. Goes to another level of showing itself.
So the benefit that can, not always, but can come from the tricksters with rites of passage for trickster energy would be, for example, you know, think of something terrible that happened that brought about change so that it wouldn't happen again. You know, well, how about the Wild West?
Oh, that yeah, that, oh, well, that, those 19 years of Pleiadians came down and put together that the Wild West show for 19 years were the gunslingers. And, of course, a lot of them did use trickster in their maneuvers.
But by allowing that master trickster energy to run a 19-year cycle and it exists in a state of total lawlessness, it got so bad that it reached the 55-degree critical mass where it brought about lawfulness.
That's right. It was called law and the lack of it. Yeah.
So that's how trickster helps swing the pendulum so
yes.
far in yeah. in the if you want to say negative, or so far in one direction
uh-huh.
that it actually breaks itself down and implodes to where, okay, that's enough of that. Now we're going to make permanent change for the benefit,
right?
Which
right.
is to establish laws so that that stuff just can't continue to happen.
Well,
but
see,
it had to happen to push them to that point.
Right, and the man's law had to somehow match cosmic law in that instance.
Okay, so this is an example of souls with mastership
mm-hmm.
that come and their astrological sign.
And you know what
didn't
I'm saying?
Play a big part of that.
Yeah, and for the past month, I've been doing a lot of people's charts, and I'm seeing all these people with mastership in their soul, but they're not doing it. They don't know how to access it. They don't know how to get it going. And I'm going, you know, oh, I look at them and I see this incredible master, and they're just sitting there not knowing it or not knowing how to activate it. And it's very frustrating for me to be able to see it and know that I'm dealing with a master, and they're sitting thinking they're in the first grade. It's a challenge for me to figure out ways to get them up off their laws and reach in there and into their soul and just turn on the switch. Sometimes it's just enough to, if they just turn on the switch. Now, I've had several that I've talked to, just by talking to them, they do it themselves, and automatically the frequency that I hold, even on the telephone, activates them, but not always. Sometimes I have to go in there and say, okay, hit the switch, hit the switch, hit the switch, hit the switch. Sometimes it just doesn't turn on. Other times, boom, they got it. I never know. Everybody's different. I tell you what, the bloodlines are getting so mixed right now that people just can't even get to their bloodline energies because the bloodline's hiccuping, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'd say. It's just, it's glitching and so big, you know, and souls with big records, mastership, have got this bloodline in them now, and they're striving to get past their bloodline to get to their records. That's another one.
Holy boy!
I know it's so complicated, but if you ever get the right mix, oh, I've seen several people just, man, they'll get on that horse and they'll ride. You know, it's like ooh.
If a person who was a great master. And they're totally lost on the earth. They don't know who they are. They're not accessing their switch. They're not activating. Is there something that they could do just to say, okay, Earth to High Command, this is me, and it's time for you to get rid of the junk in my bloodline so that I can access. I mean, is there a way that you can just say, okay, I know I got a switch, I can't find it, and ask for help from the ship?
I think that, yes, if you ask three times, to say, look, I'm here, I need help, you know, I'm demanding it, I want it, give it to me now. If you remember, it's energetically. If you sit back and hope that God's going to bless you and going to come and knight you with a sword, then it's not going to happen. But if you get your dander up and just kind of go, you know what, I know I came here for something really, really important, and damned if I can remember what it was, but I'm gonna keep stretching and stretching, and I'm gonna ask and ask until it's revealed to me, because I demand it and I'm reaching for it. I am going for it. If I have to go jump off the cliff to do it, I will do it, because it's an energetic. And I find that most people that are in really search of their records really end up finding them. But they have to energetically stay there. They can't ever drop back and go, oh, I'm not worthy, or I'm going to sit in the corner and twirl my hair until somebody shows up, or it was meant to be. And if you start getting into New Age lingo, and if you keep playing with Course of Miracles to the max, I guarantee you that you can't access your records. So it's like, okay, you have to make a decision here. Got to know who you are, know your bloodline, know your chart, know your natural state, know your rites of passage.
I guess it was a couple of weeks, you know, maybe a week ago, you called me up and you said, write this down, I'm on my way out the door. And I did.
And what was it? Well, I don't even remember that.
I know, that's why you had me write it down. If you don't know who you are, you better believe that there's someone who does.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're out to cancel your ass.
That's right. That's right. I do remember calling you and saying that. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, because, see, there's a whole research group out there now that's doing nothing but looking in bloodlines. And some of the bloodlines are getting erased on the planet. And some of them are getting enhanced. They're doing a whole bloodline experimentation. And so, as they're reviewing bloodlines, they also they go, oh, look at that soul right there. They have access to your soul records, and you know, there are some tricksters with the research group. You know, they can start messing with you. And I know it's not fair, but it's how it's played. You know, they've got their tablet open and they're writing stuff down. I'm just giving you an example of this. Not how they do it, but I'm just. You know, they punch buttons. They don't write anything down, okay? But anyway, they can, you know, go, especially these dark star lords, the dark ones that are just want to keep the planet in bondage, want to keep the same thing going, the ones that empower, you know, some of the real horrific programs on the planet and just keep it going. They can make those decisions just by one click of a frequency. And then you have to go sit down. How fair is that?
Well, in the almost 20 years that we've known each other, that's been the single hardest thing for me, and I think for most people to get, is because what we on Earth, whole construct of justice and what's fair, it completely does not apply in the galactic realm, in the galactic plan.
The only way that there are certain galactic things that they can't touch. There is hands off on a lot of things, even when they come with their funny little buttons to punch and start, you know, doing stuff. There is a hands off. You can't touch this one. That happens a lot. But the ones that decide to violate that, and they know that they're violating it, they have a huge price to pay for that. In fact, their rites of passage to even do that anymore is canceled. They're not allowed to do that anymore. They're not allowed to be even in the play. They'll be taken somewhere totally different. So a lot of them don't want to risk it. But a lot of them do. A lot of them just kind of, you know what, there's martyrs at that level, if you can believe it.
So natural state and rites of passage.
That's just the roadmap. That's just so you can start tracking yourself. Then after if you know that, then you know I try to get people to get Astro Numeric and Robert Hand's book, Planets in Transit, so they can track themselves on a daily basis, which really helps. And then I ask them if they want to get Astro Numeric and find the places on the planet where they're best suited or where people are looking for them. You go to your Pluto line. And you start losing your passport and your identification, and people trying to kill you, and you wonder why it's happening. look at your astrocartography. It'll pretty well tell you who's looking for you. I've had a lot of people over 30 years really use that astrocartography map. I don't think Jim Lewis, when he designed it, ever realized what he really had, and he died too young to even know. But yeah, there's tools, and there's so many things that it's like the emperor has no clothes. Well, if you start grabbing the clothes and putting them on, then pretty soon you've got your suit of armor and your clothing and your all your things to help you walk through your life. And nobody wants to stand out there naked where everybody can just take a shot at you. Well,
yeah. Well, if you don't know what the planetary energies and eddies and currents and weather forecast is, you may as well just go and stand outside naked.
Yeah.
Because and blind.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, if you don't, that's a good analogy. If you don't know what your transits are from day to day, you may as well go stand outside blind and naked.
Yeah.
Because anything that comes along is just going to hit you.
Yeah, well, forewarned is forearmed,
you know.
Okay?
Yeah, well, you know, so what if you just knew to duck or to take a sweater?
Yeah.
That's why it's part of the Starseed tool belt. You have to know.
Yeah.
You have to know these things if you really want to be effective. And if you don't care about that, then never mind.
Yeah, just breeze through life.
Well, I would like to just interject something here. The reference that Lavendar made to Astronumeric, this is a service that we have used for several years, and you just call them up, call this number, 800-627-7464. Give them your birth information with exact birth time. Tell them you want the Koch house system, which is spelled K-O-C-H. And then you'll get a year's worth of daily transits. It's about $22. And then there's a reference book that goes with that called Planets in Transit by Robert Hand. You can get it on Amazon or many places online. And then you can track your daily transits so you won't be outside naked and blind. And it's also a great way to learn astrology passively as you just over time get familiar with planetary energies. So next we have the Trickster material from the vault, read by Lavendar.
My name is Lavendar, and I have been working on the subject of Trickster for many, many years. In fact, I have worked on this so long, and I'm not even sure that I'm through with it, but I am going to share part one, called Trickster, with my radio audience. Trickster, a quote from Jamie Sam's Indian Medicine Cards. Coyote, you devil, you tricked me once more. Must I sit and ponder what you did it for? Trickster, coyote. Trickery is not the same as magical. Trickster shapeshifts reality in order to turn a window, usually without any intentional responsibility. Trickster creates chaos and manifests havoc in the middle of a storm. Trickster promises you the moon, then gives you the taste of the moon, then pow, total eclipse. When one gets this close to the moon, it becomes an insatiable quest to have it just one more time. POW, P-O-W, then takes on a new meaning, as in prisoner of war. And nobody said what prison would look like, did they? Trickster will manifest as a card game. Trickster will deal you four aces and show you the fifth ace up their sleeve, which is usually tied to some cherished outcome that they knew that you never got to achieve. they will hold the knowledge of this, or perhaps even better, the power of this action. Whatever it is, they won't give it to you. And in some shamanistic practices, we'll find others to safeguard this knowing, and we'll monitor and set forth runners to keep whatever cherished outcome just out of your reach. Spiritual lessons seem to be more important than effectiveness. Thus, cherished outcome becomes a barrier for any effectiveness to take hold. Trickster can make you laugh, although your face may be cracking from the pain, but laughter seems to be the only healer at the high point of recognizing this energy called trickster, or the Native American Indians call it coyote. Trickster never seems to learn from the last trick played on them or someone else. They're trickster addicts. The more coups, the more excitement. They are trickster junkies and live in a world of comedy of errors. Holy trickster. Now, this trickster in the name of Holy is something to behold, all right. The hole in this divine donut will appear to be a spirit guide, guardian angel, master KTPZRT, or some voice, or better still, God himself. Their teachings set you up for your own good, you understand. These characters wearing whatever disguise will make it their business to keep the sabotage running in your soul in the name of holy teaching medicine. They have fine-tuned this trickster energy to such sheer perfection of sabotage that when the boomerang comes home, they will become totally surprised and through their great judgmental eyes will declare, "Well, that's a psychic attack." This is when sabotage meets self-sabotage and doesn't even know the difference. They cancel their own plays in life and never know it. Their ego or superior authority never seems to allow them the courtesy of tracking their own energy moves when it comes to this kind of trickster energy. It seems that when God tells them some divine message and they perform it, then whatever happens then comes from God. This could be called trickster cop-out. How can one tell a holy trickster? Well, you know the ones with a lot of religion running through their soul records. Sometimes one can catch it by looking deep into their eyes, for the mirror of their soul reflects their true intent. However, they seem to not hold a gaze for very long. Divine trickster. This is an offshoot energy of runner of holy trickster. The one with the divine navel attached to every living, breathing cord of your reality system. Just when you think you are getting a grip on reality, they somehow come along and slip you a divine Mickey and call it some cosmic mystical name, and then they just move on. And there you are, just sitting there, contemplating your own navel, and somehow you know that rebirthing, acupuncture, regression, yoga, astrology, and meditation. Never heard of this one. This divine navel experience may take you to the edge of your sanity. When this happens, will you have enough will or power to jerk yourself out of the clutches of this divine trickster? What price of spirit are you willing to pay? And by the time you pay it, who will care? The only ones that will care will be the trickster addicts, who in unison will say, "Well, it was God's will," or, "Well, it was meant to be." Or better still, they will open their trickster mouth and let you know that they had something to do with your great lesson, which may or may not be true. Who are they, and how much power do they hold? Masters hold this kind of knowingness and power, but few ever verbally say so. They know the power of their words can boomerang on them, so discernment is a must at this level of knowingness. Are there any great masters reading this? Seduction trickster. You want to know about the bend in the road? Well, bend over and grab both your ankles. Here comes the big cosmic dildo of the sky. This seduction trickster is so masterful, alluring, and seems so magical that you actually lose a grip on your life force. You don't know that at first. You're too charmed by the hypnotic gaze of this fascinating snake. This seduction energy has curves and angles of space that promises you paradise, and by the time it zigs and zags through your life force, taking everything dear and sacred, you then discover that you've been slimed and snaked by seduction. When this lesson is over, if it ever is, snake will come to mind whenever you see it again. This kind of seductive snake will make the art of, or act in art, zigging and zagging an art form. Wait a minute. This kind of seductive snake will make the act of zigging and zagging an art form. They get so good at it that they can duplicate your mind and will engage in mental masturbation just for the fun of it. Make a mental note about how many symbols of snakes are in your memory or family tree, or how about all the healing symbols with the snakes attached, and how many times have you been forced to swallow your true feelings when the subject of snakes comes up in a conversation because you're just not sure if you'll offend some fellow healer or practitioner, because after all of the myths through the years about snake power and how wonderful and how transformative they are, etc., etc., blah, blah, blah. This master, mistress of seduction while inside your brain will find every known or unknown trick that has or hasn't been a part of your life's experience. The term mind F becomes part of their pattern in most of their relationships. Some even line up to experience this great art form of seduction. This can become another form of addiction, or some would refer to it as, well, just doing what comes naturally. This great seduction trickster will lie in the grass of your reality system and will wait until you least expect it, then gotcha becomes everlasting in your conscious or unconscious moments. If these tricksters don't succeed upon first brain contact, they'll put it on hold for a future date when you least are expecting it. After the entire coup or the excitement of gotcha could become a rush to the system. Some use it for the pump to life force. Others tie it to group activation of cosmic concerns and only use it as a vehicle of information, or maybe misinformation. Just depends on where they have you in their seduction frequency band. They collect different religious concepts attached to your genetics or bloodlines, and they start weaving it from there. These masters of seduction can make time travel their ally and can literally project past, present, and future realities through these abilities. Many so-called channelers or spiritual and galactic messengers fall prey to these concepts, and it is from here that most of them crash, sooner or later. After seduction trickster gets through with the mental aspects of your waking or not so waking moments, then they'll turn to your emotional system, you know, the one that is attached to your heart. Now here comes the real trickster and mobster form after the pump of your heart. The ultimate pump, the life force of rhythm that keeps mind, body, and spirit together. They will penetrate your emotional feeling system and begin to duplicate it and make you think that they have the same set of emotional systems as you. And of course, you fall for this because, after all, you've been looking for this all your life. They get to know your pleasure, pain buttons to every known or unknown addiction. They'll masquerade this as the great love of your life, and better still, will convince you that they have returned from a previous lifetime to claim you as their soulmate. This is the ultimate coup, and you, being trusting and terribly in love, can't figure out that you have just been snaked into another reality. Seduction trickster will even penetrate, duplicate an addiction that will seem like it is nurturing. That sing-song, soft voice hypnotically trancing you with words and energizing your sexual creative process suddenly makes you a play in this snake dance. This will surely be a sign from God because, after all, it's so empowering. You know the one you must have or else. You can get so dependent on this sensation, seduction, whether it be empowering or nurturing, it makes no difference. You'll do almost anything to have it and protect it. You'll do this because all real reasoning has left you. That old saying, love is blind, and in this case, love is blind and stupid. So now you have it. The seduction trickster that encompasses the mental and the emotional aspects. But what about the end result of seduction ending up in the sexual arena of creative sacred spiral? This is the place of the highest violation of sacred womb space. Or in the case of a man, his highest point of exaltation as in seeding or creating life force. But for now, let us look at the sacred womb space and see what the snake energy has been allowed to do through the sisterhood of woman power. This snake energy comes in the form of some nurturing living energy akin to mother, sister, child, or some other hooded disguise. The deception is so clever that one cannot see the snaky, slimy, slippery energy for what it really is because the rose-colored glasses have designer Bambi engraved on them, and your innocence is being trampled upon, and it may be a while before you ever figure it out, if you ever do. This kind of seduction trickster played out by women has caused the female principle to be scorned throughout the history of the planet. So when a man or a woman violates sacred womb space, then it creates a wobble in genetics that takes sacred spiral to distortion and maims the participants. They in turn will be held accountable for warps in the bloodlines in the generations to come. Women need now to reclaim their sacred womb space and treat themselves with nurturing aspects of male and female creative spin. Reconciliation of the sexes is now at hand. This was written in September of 1991. Not much progress has happened with the reconciliation of the sexes. In fact, in some areas of the world, it's gotten worse. One of the signals to look for after an encounter with a seduction trickster is to see who's holding their genitals. Is there a long casual list that accompanies this kind of action? In many cases, this is where rape of the soul, spirit, and body becomes evident because when you reach for your genitals, you may find them gone. You have to ask yourself if you gave them up willingly or did someone take them while you were under some hypnotic spell of seduction. In other words, what's the body count? And that number will not lie to you. Seduction trickster will promise you a moment of sharing just long enough to coo the sexual emotional life force from their chosen partner. Seductive trickster is a sensual seduction suck and will leave you high and dry. This is very much akin to psychic vampirism. The difference is that seductive trickster spends an energy that doesn't stay connected for very long. However, psychic vampirism depends upon the connection to stay alive in the life force. Just think of how many people you know who exist like this in their relationships. Staggering thought, isn't it? The difference between seduction trickster and psychic sexual vampirism is a subject that could be debated over a long period of time because there is just a fine line of frequency misuse and it is viewed so differently among so many people. Seduction trickster, when hooked up to the mental, emotional, physical, psychic, and spiritual ethers, part of the human system, becomes the ultimate in violation of misuse of power. Never forget this. when linked this way, connected to the pleasure pain centers, have access to another's cherished outcome of intended action, usually based on not enough or too much. Not enough, usually measured as a suck energy, and too much is measured as overkill or some smothering, squashable life force. There are those that use suck and overkill all in one session of seduction function, close to where sacred space is being designed. Seduction trickster is on its way out. A circle of sacred space light has been drawn, and a new blueprint, minus seduction trickster, is being asked to enter a new genetic lineage for planet Earth. The new wave of energy and the new children coming to the planet will depend on those with the 7-generation codes to step forward and make a stand concerning violations in the name of Coyote or Trickster. Physical trickster? Shapeshifter is another term for physical trickster. Anyone who is an actor or actress uses this kind of energy to change his or her appearance, whether it be a dress, makeup, hair, or whatever the physical disguise. A different face or costume to match the accompanying energy. The positive aspects of physical trickster is the ability to shapeshift someone's reality long enough to move them to another kind of awareness. Through movies, television, videos, and theater, this masterful physical trickster energy has now become so helpful in assisting people to remember other times and places of history. Hollywood and Broadway are full of physical tricksters. It's their business. To the mind of the observer, it can trigger a positive or negative response concerning use and misuse of power. The most negative aspect of physical trickster is to deliberately set out to look, act, imitate through physical means to coup another's energy through deceitful or cunning maneuvers. Tribal trickster. The Native Americans have coined the coyote or hyoka, and many have called this sacred trickster. And to some, I'm sure it has been their experience to be part of this sacred experience. They have used it as a lesson in humor of opposites. Tribal trickster concerning American Indians teachings is in a category all by itself. The genetics of the American Indians in most cases makes them separate and apart from others. When the leader of a tribe decides to pick someone out to teach a lesson concerning trickster coyote, hyoka energy, then the leader will gather other supportive energies that will empower the cherished outcome of the leader, casting their lesson to be learned. Many join this group energy out of choice, while others join it because it feeds their own trickster energy. Then there are those that further their own empowering process, which could be some form of soul addiction, a very strong possibility. There is a term called Indian coup, pronounced coup, spelled C-O-U-P, as in gotcha, which can be translated into win and you lose. Native Americans have based most of their coup, depending on their strongest medicine power. They could call on the powers of the four directions, which were north, south, east, and west, and the four elements, which are fire, earth, air, and water. These powers were presented to those on their way to power, and depending on how they could master the energy without being caught, could determine the rites of passage and would set forth their chosen path of empowerment or cancellation. One of the final tests of power resides in the ability to lead a tribe and pass on the teaching of 7 generations by either transmuting trickster or by not allowing it to manifest and have no play at all. Sacred space, when designed with respect, represents the ability for creative sacred spiral to manifest and be passed on to these 7 generations. The magic of co-creation happens at the highest possible moment of exalted, combustible power, but with the absence of any trickster energy whatsoever. Playfulness in lovemaking, when exposed to fun, happy, lighthearted energy, is permitted, but without the trickster frequency that could harm in any way. Sacred Coyote was, and is, an experience, but now it becomes evident that to take the time to play with trickster at any level could be a waste of precious time. There is nothing sacred about trickster when it has the potential of harming, hurting, maiming the children of the next 7 generations. As far as humor of opposites, polarity has had its place, just as Coyote has had its place in history, but then so did Pompeii. Supreme Trickster. You know, it took me a while to name this one, and it might not yet be named for what it really is. This is the combination of holy, divine, seductive, tribal, all rolled into one gigantic power. This lethal combination, when aligned with misuse of power, is truly armed with a special kind of supreme trickster. These self-exalted, self-grandized beings with ultimate power running through their every waking and sleeping moment will break every law, whether it be cosmic or earth, in order to get the results that they want. Civilizations have come and gone several times because of the combination of this supreme trickster energy when in exalted misalignment. An extreme example of this was recently portrayed in the movie called The Devil's Advocate. One needs to know how to track this supreme trickster while watching this film, which will help to remove the veil of spiritual ignorance. This movie is based on true concepts of spiritual and galactic conquest now being practiced on the planet. This movie is not science fiction, but a reality at several levels. There are more supreme tricksters now functioning through every walk of life. It may seem that some world leaders possess this attribute, but look closely at those in your communities, whether they be of religious or New Age movements. New cosmic laws have been designed with them in mind, and planetary alignments with different experimental species have created this hybrid of humanity. People born with certain markings can be tracked, monitored, and empowered, or neutralized by beings in a position of power regulation. This is a precise science of cosmic proportions, and only those with genetic codes are even permitted to have access to such knowledge or information. Because of the seriousness of some planet's involvement, a check and balance system has been set up to monitor when an entire planet has been overrun with the overlords of supreme trickster. Not many can track at this level, but for those who can, be mindful of this knowledge and let it not corrupt your spiritual nature of observation. And hold this truth as sacred as you hold your next breath. For once you breathe a breath with this knowledge, your awareness will accelerate and your auric field will be noticeable to those partaking of supreme trickster tactics. Once you resonate this truth in your soul, you never can go back to not knowing. Hold your counsel with this one. For the one you choose to share this with could be the person that is tricking you daily into some reality of their choosing. Once you turn loose your newfound insight, then watch the trickster go into full-blown activity. Be prepared for whatever backlash comes your way. Telling the truth at this level may not serve you. Discernment is a must. History of Supreme Trickster, Global Effects. History books are full of these people, and history has a way of repeating itself. These fanciful characters have paraded through every known bloodline on the planet. The energetic produced by them in an environment can cause trees to topple and cause governments to fall. To call them a loose cannon would be too kind. Anything or anyone in their path can become a subject of some form of abusive target practice. It has been noted and tracked on several levels that bloodlines that hold certain psychic or starseed codings seem to magnify their trickster energies by stronger measure than earthlings. So when you meet a star person and they want to show you their magical powers, then just watch, wait, and see how they handle the creative life force pattern, and it will not be long until one can gather the fruits of their action or experience the pain of their thorns. Some questions to ponder. When you see one of these supreme tricksters, are you awed by their presence? Do you become pawns on their chessboard? How do you sell out when confronted with this kind of energy? Where have you sold out before in other lifetimes? How many bloodlines are programmed with this kind of supreme trickster vibration? How many custodial gods play with this kind of knowingness? And again, what price of spirit are you willing to risk to find out? You know, I'm looking at the dates of the different drafts that I've written this. My first draft was in November of 90, September of 91, April of 94, April of 95, June of 2001, May of 2003, and June of 2004. And then this final one, I guess, is the eighth revision, and it's here in 2011. So, at the end of 2004, I wrote, "This commentary on Trickster has been in the making for over 13 years, and through many different eyes and paths have I witnessed the coming and goings of Trickster and Coyote among the people on the planet. Some I learned firsthand and barely escaped with my soul still intact. Others I witnessed as they fell or blew directly into the abyss without a second glance. Over these years, it has been brought to my attention more than once that there are eagles out there flying and they seem to be molting in midair, meaning their feathers seem to be dropping and their flight path is not as smooth as it once was. And in some cases, they are missing in action, MIAs of the eagle kind. There was a time when the gathering of eagles was a priority so that unison of purpose would have a better chance of manifesting. But as I witnessed the trickster energy being allowed to play on the planet without any guidelines, none whatsoever, and beings just set about allowing everything to play, then it wasn't too long until the chaos started to affect the eagles in bird form and in human form. It is with this notice that I finally have terminated all the revisions of this written commentary on Trickster and finally send it out to those that can see through my eyes and can hear the message written in their own language of discernment. This was the last written communication given to Shirley MacLaine on her 60th birthday in New Mexico on April 24, 1994. Is part of her discerning message about what energies are allowed to play on the planet. The April 19, 1994 revision copy was given to her at that time because of her interest in Native American tribal trickster behavior. Also, she was preparing to release her new book, My Lucky Stars, and had asked me for my opinion by allowing me to read her manuscript in the last editing days. As I read her manuscript, she was reading my document on Trickster. I could tell that it disturbed her in many ways, as she became very quiet and chose not to have any dialogue about it. After all these years with Shirley, I knew that this was a sign of in-depth integration. A lot of people have speculated about the absence of Shirley in my life since 1994. Especially since we were so close for so many years in the beginning stages of her exploring of metaphysics as we spent many years in search of adventures, truly the ET kind. But as the years have come and gone, and I have witnessed the cancellation and the destruction of really good people, whether they were starseed, walk-ins, or lightworkers, or simply enlightened earth folks, those committed to cosmic balance, whether they were Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, or New Agers, well, I see that they've been abused and cast aside where some might think they have been pushed to the point of almost extinction. I suppose that a lot of this happened because people just weren't awake enough to see the tricksters in motion on the planet. They got caught in their own special weave of spiritual enlightenment. You know, the one that Spirit instructed them to do. Well, for whatever reason, a belief, a guru, or God, or even a movie star, enough is enough. We have lost too many eagles in flight, and now the time to have some discernment of frequency is at hand. Who has the spiritual galactic courage to activate their own systems of this kind of knowingness about trickster energy? Why? Because energy does not lie. Only people do.
That's one of my favorite quotes from Lavendar. And that's the show for this evening. I want to thank you all for listening and invite you to tune in next week when Lavendar will be back. And we're going to tell you all about our crystal quest to Hot Springs, Arkansas. We'll have some of our group that was there call in and talk about their experiences. We had some high strangeness. And we will be bringing all of that to you next week, same time, Tuesday at 7 Eastern Time. On behalf of all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy, Anastasia, Lavendar, Chris, Rose, Tammy, Velva, Sahar, all of our team here, thanks you for listening, and we will be back next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.